Hey, this is Chris with a brief apology for the audio quality of this episode and maybe some surrounding episodes in the release schedule as well. Just to give you a little peek behind the curtain at my podcast unfriendly living situation, the only like baby and noise-free room in my house is a closet that contains a water heater, which means that I need to diligently shut up whenever anyone in this apartment or the other apartment is running water. Otherwise, the audio is filled with a pretty much unremovable hissing sound. In this recording, I did not catch that sound. It is in the audio now, and I can't get it out. I figured better to put this audio out in the state that it's in and keep the schedule going rather than doing any further work that would probably prove to be fruitless. So this episode's quality is a little rough. This may also be true of a couple of episodes to come, although I don't think it's as bad. It may also be true of yesterday's episode, for all I know. The other thing about the horrible hissing running water sound on audio is that if I edit these episodes while I'm with my baby, and therefore I'm doing it through my laptop speakers rather than my headphones, I can't hear that sound in the finished audio. So all this is to say, your Patreon money, which allows me to go to a podcast studio or hotel room to a much more audio-friendly environment to record and do some editing, used to be very well spent back before the pandemic when I could use it for that purpose. I continue to seek ways to get out of this closet and make the show sound better again. Things are slowly reopening here in the Portland area whence I podcast. So here's hoping some other option opens up soon. In the meantime, once again, I apologize. I'm doing my best to keep the show sounding good. And if you are driven crazy by this hissing or audio artifacts from attempts to noise remove hissing, just know that it will get better from here. I hope. Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 219 of Beyond the Supernatural. This is the second page of the Beyond the Supernatural character sheet. Yesterday we talked about how good the first page of the character sheet is, how it's such a great improvement over Palladium character sheets of the past. Now here we are on page 2, and it's all fallen apart. Here's the thing. I grant you, that first page, it's very usable. That was achieved by failing to fit something on the page. There's plenty of room for skills, there's plenty of room for equipment, saves, and combat bonuses and attributes, but what it's missing is the supernatural. It's missing psychic abilities. With psychic abilities, that page would have been very cramped. It would have had to take the same kind of shortcuts as past Palladium character sheets. But because psionic abilities are omitted, the character sheet works. Now we need a second page to hold those psionic abilities, though. Here's the problem. There's nothing else to say really of value about these characters. Certainly mechanically, but even in terms of fluff. I mean, any character can have any depth of backstory. God knows. Since the inception of the hobby, players everywhere have been proving that any character, no matter how boring, can have pages and pages of backstory, given a player who is sufficiently devoted to tormenting the GM. But in terms of info you would realistically use and consult, as opposed to just trivia, there's not a ton left to say about a Beyond the Supernatural character, but that didn't stop the author from trying. This second page is almost 100% filler, other than the section for writing down your psionic abilities. Here's what we get other than psychic abilities. First of all, there's like the biographical section. And this has everything. This has your height, weight, eye color, sure, your age, but also your birth order, 3 lines devoted to describing your general appearance. There's a section for your family origin, and then another section for your environment. So you can write about what kind of family you came from, what kind of town you grew up in like most of one line, which is a very awkward length. Way too long to write like military family. A lot of wasted space there, but it's way too short for like her mother, Beatrice, was an alcoholic, and this puts stress upon her father. Now you're out of room. You're out of space. We had to cut you off. Sorry your mom's an alcoholic, but we needed to reserve some lines for sentiments toward mages and psychics. And also, sentiments toward non-humans, which is a weird thing to put on a character sheet in a game where the only non-humans are basically ghosts, aka ex-humans, and demons who are creatures of pure evil. You might get out of the monster hunting game if you felt that way. Then there's a couple of lines here for goals in life. There are a couple of lines here to describe your insanities. Then there's a box at the bottom of that half of the character sheet for miscellaneous. As though this were not miscellaneous enough. Let's get even more miscellaneous. Let's go nuts. There's a space to write in your vertical versus horizontal leaping distance, a place to write in separately both your running and swimming speeds as expressed in miles per hour, melees, feet per melee, and feet per attack. I don't know what melees means. That's a measure of abstract round structure, and it's not something over melees, right? Because we get two of those. We get feet per melee and feet per attack. So we know how far you can move in a turn. We know how far you can move in a round. And then there's just like melees. It's like asking someone how fast they can run as expressed in marathons. Like, yeah, you're almost there. Like, marathons have to do with running, but they're not a rate or a unit. They're an event. Good try. Nice stab at math there. Try again. We get spaces here to write in your percentage to invoke trust / intimidate and to charm / impress, two numbers that most characters will not have. We get a big chunk devoted to character history, which I always fucking hate. It's enough room for like one long paragraph. Is this a pressure comp? Am I back in senior year? Why would I sit here at the table where we're supposed to be playing and write exactly one long paragraph of backstory for my character? Do I have to turn this into the teacher at the end? What is this? Why wouldn't I write this on my laptop or my phone or something? I could be wrong about this one. Please do write in to the show. I am megadumbcast@gmail.com. I'm megadumbcast on Twitter. Write me if you like to use these little mini sections for character backstory on character sheets. Maybe that is some people's jam. Pressure comps where you have to sit and like write a little mini essay in 20 minutes or a half hour or whatever. Those are on my list of things that like I'm good at, but I hate. So maybe that's why I'm just prejudiced against this. But anyway, yeah, there's a space for that. There are 5 spaces for writing in special equipment and magic weapons and objects that you have. Each one has room for the object's name, type, description, and abilities. This book, of course, offers no magic items and no structure for magic items. So, for example, there are no types defined. There are no abilities defined. There is, in fact, no magic in this book or for this edition of the game. But nonetheless, we got spots for 5 magic items for when you're a world-beating, dragon-slaying, 15th level paranormal investigator, I guess, and you've got a +5 halberd of demon-slaying tucked into your trench coat somehow. And then, of course, there's a big section at the end for notes, which is nothing. Of course, it's just like the section for notes in the back of an old, like, manual for a Sega Genesis game. None of that is the dumbest thing in this page. The dumbest thing in this page is that there is exactly one thing that needed to be on a Beyond the Supernatural character sheet that sort of justifies the whole existence of this second page, a section for psionic abilities. It is the only reason any of the rest of this shit is here. Let me give you some context. Let's assume a psionic character of 15th level, the highest level psionic character in the game. Taking a survey of all the psychic character classes in the game, advanced all the way to 15th level, the highest you can get. Psychic classes have a median number of psionic abilities of 15 or 16. That is, once you've played your character for literal years and topped out and you're not getting XP anymore because there's nowhere else to go, you would have 15 psychic powers, or maybe 16. That's the median. The extreme case would be the psychic sensitive, who, as we know, is just cursed with more psychic mojo than they know what to do with. By 15th level, after years of play, the psychic sensitive would have 27 psychic powers by the point that, like, the game is over, you've won Beyond the Supernatural. You've gone beyond the supernatural. The last Mindalar is in captivity. The galaxy is at peace. Go sit on the couch and watch your fucking shows. Demons are over. At that point, the psychic sensitive has 27 psychic powers. There are 42 entries for psychic powers on this sheet. It is so ridiculously wasteful of space. 42 lines devoted to psychic powers. That's 2 columns of psychic powers you can write down. I'm pretty sure that over a standard, once again, years-long campaign that goes to 9th level, which is the normal endpoint of a campaign, per this game's rules and suggestions, a typical campaign, you would never even crack column 2. And in fact, that one column for most character classes would be enough all the way through 15th level. This entire page of filler, not only in the character sheet, but in this book, which, remember, so tight on space. We had to take out the magic section because there's nothing that could be cut. But we did opt for a 2-page character sheet, one page of which is just all filler, justified solely by the spot for psionic powers, which is like 3 times longer than most campaigns will ever, ever, ever need. But I guess what else could they do? It's a face-saving move. Like, if you're a person who doesn't enjoy filling out every little fiddly bit of a character sheet and you just leave things blank if you don't plan to consult them, the only part of the second page you'll use is the psionics section. And if it were only as long as it needs to be, which is like maybe 20 lines long, you would immediately realize that it's a waste to have a whole second page for that. So they just kind of blew it up. You know, they just kind of gave it a ton of leg room, kind of gave you a first class space for your psychic powers. If you're only playing for a year, if you're going to play to like fifth level or whatever, there might be enough room here for you to actually draw your character using every one of your psychic powers. This is enough space to artistically express your entire psychic arsenal. That's how humongous it is. So yeah, that's the dumbest thing in this page. I don't necessarily object too strongly to a little bit of filler, but when you've got a whole page in your book devoted to a whole page of a character sheet, and the only really useful part of that page is like 20 blank lines in a big box of 42 blank lines, it feels a bit wasteful of page count. Especially when the filler is not as good as it could be. For example, there's nothing in the filler about group affiliation, which is a potentially very important part of certain characters. It is a part of certain classes as well. And, as we're about to find out, it is the focus of the next portion of this book. Join me next time when we get our proper introduction to the Laszlo Society on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top-secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.